Hey, welcome to the catch up. A real Anzac Day flavour, of course, the eve of Anzac Day, and we met some very inspirational men today.
Absolutely.
Yes, we did. Channel 7, the boss of Channel 7, who of course is a returned serviceman himself, Ben Robert Smith, and he talked about his connections to Anzac Day because, of course, he is a Victoria Cross winner.
Well, he came back with both arms and legs, whereas Curtis McGrath, who won a gold medal in Rio for, he lost both legs and an arm.
Amazing.
When he stood on a landmine, so he was inspirational
and
too.
And remained conscious through the whole thing.
And what
thing,
did he say?
Instructing his teammates how to take care of the wounds because he was the engineer corps medic. And as they evac'd him out, he said, I'll see you at the Paralympics, boys.
And he did.
Wow. So not a bad effort when you've just had your legs blown off.
Very true. Both those fellas in today. And you can't say inspirational and not mention the PM, Rich Uncle Mal, in the same sentence. You'll hear from him as well, calling through from Germany. Enjoy the catch-up.
Das ist gut.
It's time to be addressed by the man at the top, our Prime Minister, Rich Uncle Mal. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Hello to you, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M Brisbane. It's always a pleasure. I'm on my way home from Germany. I've met with Angela Merkel. She's quite an impressive woman, Angela. I like her a lot.
Okay, but what about the royal baby? This is so exciting. What do you think?
Of course, the birth of any child is an exceptionally important and joyous moment for humanity and mankind. But I've had an absolute gutful of the royals. I'll tell you what, walking around with Harry and Meghan and Megan or whatever you call her, I'm a Republican, remember, Robin. And so I will tolerate them, but really and surely, you know, I want to be the first president of this country too. So once the Queen pops her clogs, that's it, we're done. And I have to vote for Charles too in the CHOGM meeting to endorse him as the next head of government or state or whatever it is. Ah, the royals. They're almost as rich as me, but not quite as stylish.
PM, just address that a little bit further. Your wife, Lucy, was hanging out with Harry and Meghan in a red pantsuit, which was quite extraordinary. Pretty daring.
Yes, now, I thought it was terrific. What did you think of it, Robin? I'd like a woman's perspective on this one.
Well, I did note it, I will say. I did absolutely notice it. And I thought when she put the jacket over the top, it cut up the red and made it look less like a beetroot.
Well, I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was, I think my wife is still very sexy. And I think that she cuts a fine figure. And I thought it was a daring move, too, to put the pantsuit on. Very 1970s. Very, disco. And I just want to quash some rumours, too. Some papers over here, the scandal rags, the red tops of Fleet Street, has said that they overheard me telling Harry that I had a throbbing yoni. Now, I didn't say anything like that. I never said throbbing yoni, half a mongrel.
Okay, that's enough. Enough.
I didn't say I had a sconge.
No, okay, the Banking
Royal
Commission.
You still like your wife. That's excellent.
Look,
it's bad.
I like my wife. Of course I do. I'm sorry.
The Banking Royal Commission looks bad for your party. What's going on?
No. So move on.
Well, okay. Listen, this is a Banking Royal Commission that we called after trying to stop the Banking Royal Commission because, well, you know, you don't want to anger the banks, especially if you're hiding a lot of funds in the Cayman Islands. They can really do a number on you. But I think this is going to bring down our government. Kelly O'Dwyer, secretly known amongst some parliamentarians as Buzz Lightyear because she's got a Latin jaw, she's having to defend off the media. But the Banking Royal Commission, it's making the banks look bad. And listen, they're not bad guys. Sure, really? Taxing the dead isn't a great look, but, you know, let's stick with them. The big four. Good on you guys.
Yeah, I just want to say, you've gone up in the opinion polls while you're away overseas. A lot of people are saying you should stay there.
I see what you did there, Marto. Why don't you just leave the jokes to me, mate? Right? Good on you. Now, before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Anzac Day, a solemn day, and probably Australia's true Australia Day. Good on you guys. Bye now.
Well, these days we know him as General Manager for Channel 7 in Queens, and he's also Chairman of the National Australia Day Committee. But in days gone past, he was one of our most decorated soldiers. There's so much to this man. Two tours of duty in Iraq, six tours of duty in Afghanistan, and if I say Victoria Cross, it's a man we all know and respect. Ben Robert Smith, good morning, sir.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. What does Anzac Day mean to you?
Oh, look, Anzac Day for me is a day of commemoration. That's when we, particularly servicemen and women, along with other Australians, remember the service and sacrifice of all those people that have gone before us, creating the country that we have today. You know, we're a young country, but a big part of the freedom we enjoy is due to the sacrifice of those men and women that have fought in the wars and conflicts that Australia's been involved in.
You've been there. Who do you think of most? Is it those family members or is it the guys and girls you were with in Afghanistan and Iraq while the last post is being played?
Oh, look, I mean, you obviously think about all of your family and basically everybody. Just out of respect, you think of everybody that served who's gone before you. But, you know, particularly for me, because I have been away and served and because I have lost friends in Afghanistan particularly, you know, that's what you think about. You think about them, you think about their families, and you just take that, you know, that minute silence for me is about really acknowledging that we were friends, that we fought alongside each other, and that they gave everything for this country.
Do you think about them every day?
You do. You know, you do. It's at some point in every day, you know, they pop into your head for, and I don't mean that, you know, in a negative way. I mean, just they, you know, you just have thoughts about people or, you know, particularly what I've found, trying to move through into the civilian world, I tend to think about them when things aren't necessarily going well. And I think about them because, you know, they made that ultimate sacrifice and yet I'm still here and I've still got a life to live and I've got to do my very best to live that life as best I can to honour their sacrifice because I'm lucky enough to still be here.
You're the head of Channel 7 and I often wonder what kind of transferable skills did you bring from what you did in the military to now being the head of one of the big media organisations?
Actually, it's really something I'm quite passionate about is helping industry and business understand the value of service personnel, you know, and how they can be utilised within any industry or any business. And one of the reasons I picked media particularly, most people don't know this, but one of the reasons I picked it was because I thought going from an SAS operator to becoming a TV executive, I mean, that is the most abstract occupation you can think of post-military. But if you can do that, if you can show your value and your worth and not just do it but succeed, then you are proving that military people can do anything that they set their mind to because of the core values and skills they have. You might not know the industry, you might not have the particular skills, but we learn fast and we can apply that information really quickly and effectively because that's what we do. You know, we do that in our everyday life in the military. And we also come with a pretty good set of values and work ethic, which I think any employer is happy to absorb.
Hey, Robbo, I don't know if you're allowed to answer this security-wise, but back in 2003, you started with the SAS. A lot of people listening would love to know the grueling selection process to get into it. Can you outline that?
Yeah, look, without going into heaps of detail, the reality is the selection course goes for around 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks, and the purpose of the course, though, is just to ascertain whether you have the potential to be trained. Now, a lot of people think you do the SA selection course, you've seen it on the movies, that kind of stuff, you get through it, and all of a sudden you get given your Jedi powers and here's your barrow. It doesn't work like that. You know, you do 3 weeks of being completely punished, broken down as a human being, tested to your very core, or challenged the resolve you have and the ability you have to put all of that out of your mind and complete the mission. And if they think that you have that ability, then they will tell you, you know, you have now been selected to start the reinforcement training, and that training goes for 18 months. So you do the three-week course just to get onto the training cycle, and you've got 18 months of courses that are back-to-back, and at any stage, if you fail any of those courses, then you're removed from the unit. So in essence, it takes you nearly 24 months, so 2 years, to become a trained SAS operator.
Ben Robert-Smith, thank you so much for joining us today, and do I say happy Anzac Day? Or
what do you say, Ben? What do you say?
You know what, on Anzac Day, I think most soldiers just appreciate the knowledge that they're being thanked for their service. And, you know, I mean, this is what I say to guys when I see them, you know what I mean? So I'll tell you what, the way I'll sign off is just to thank all of the servicemen and women that have served our country and whoever are listening right now, I thank them for their service.
At ease, Corporal.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
Good on you guys. Thank you.
Curtis McGrath is a gold-winning Paralympian who took gold in the canoe in Rio, but his story is much more than that. We say good morning to him this morning. Good morning, Curtis McGrath.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Hello, Curtis.
Anzac Day and your story as an injured digger is an incredible one. It was in Uruzgan province in Afghanistan where you lost your legs. Do you want to run us through exactly what happened that day?
Yeah, so in August 2012, I was on a clearance patrol in Afghanistan and we were to establish a checkpoint. And as we moved into the area, we started to find a fair few IEDs, improvised explosive devices. And on the third day of this patrol, I stepped right on one of those IEDs and it detonated beneath me. Luckily, it was a relatively small IED compared to the ones we were finding. And it took both my legs and severely injuring my hand instantly.
You're clearly talking to us about it. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of emotion attached to it. When that went off, did you realise how serious this was?
The seriousness, I think, was apparent due to the amount of pain that I was in. And the amount of pain, I can't really describe it other than, like, my pain wasn't isolated to my legs. It felt like everything about my body was in agony.
Curtis, is it part of the urban myth or is it true that, you know, while you were lying there, you actually said you'll all see me at the Paralympics in a few years' time to try to, create some levity in a fairly serious situation?
Yeah, that's right. I did say that. I knew my legs were gone, that they weren't coming back. So I think that's where it came from, was slightly in a way to help them. I was not the only person going through that trauma. You know, we all sort of were witnessing and being a part of that together.
Curtis, you're a rower and you took gold in Rio, and rowing is, infamously difficult.
Canoeing.
Do you use the pain threshold that you went through in Afghanistan to push when you're training?
Not really. I think I see opportunities. I've got an opportunity to do this. Not many people do, so I'm allowed, or I've got the possibility of achieving something that not many people get the chance to. And because of that, I really push myself and think that, someone else is, stuck at home and struggling with life. And I'm out there trying to be the best I can be and lead a sort of an example sort of post this life.
Curtis, Anzac Day, what does it mean to you? How do you celebrate?
Anzac Day is a special occasion for all of Australia and particularly for the defence community. And being a veteran and a contemporary veteran, we try to, maintain the flame and carry the torch for the older diggers that are no longer with us. So having that opportunity to, reflect and remember on those times. But for me, probably I'm going to be out on the Gold Coast. Got a little bit of a plan, hoping the weather's nice, to go and paddle out around Elephant Rock, Crumbin Creek.
Big morning there.
Yeah, so out around on the water. It'll be pretty quiet out there, so hopefully it's the sun lights the way for us. It's a bit dark at this time of the morning.
We should also say, Curtis, that you're a proud ambassador for Mates for Mates, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. They've been a part of my sort of rehabilitation and being quite instrumental in helping me succeed in my goals. So, Mates for Mates is a great charity that also supports, over 3,000 veterans and their families. So it's a great service.
Yeah, they do great work at Mates for Mates. You can find the website matesformates.org. Curtis McGrath, deservingly an Order of Australia medalist. Thank you so much for your time today, an inspiring story.
Thank you.
Anzac Day tomorrow. This is former Aussie combat engineer Curtis McGrath.
Oh, I knew my legs were gone. They weren't coming back.
He managed to turn that tragedy into triumph, and he's going to explain how just after 8 o'clock.
It's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. And also, just after 7 we heard Ben Robert-Smith, who's a Victoria Cross recipient, talking about how he looks at his own heritage going back. And there are a lot of people in his family who served, like, in Gallipoli and then subsequently all the way through. And I think in Australia that most of us would either be related to someone or know someone who served in the armed forces, yeah?
Yep, I think you're right. Yeah, both sides of my family.
Well, for me, my dad was an RAF pilot in the Second World War. If he was alive now, he'd be 96.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he lied about his age, and they were so desperate in the UK. It was when the war was really turning and Hitler was kind of cruising on, and they thought that they were going to lose France and then England.
Had they started the blitz? Like, what year are we?
It was 42, I think.
Yeah, so they started
42?
Bombing London. That's when things got really serious.
So 42, I think, is the Battle of Britain too. So it's that point.
That turning point.
Really interesting thing about the Battle of Britain, though, I'm mad on Spitfires, and there was a lot of Polish pilots who had escaped Poland when the Germans invaded, and they hated Germany so much, and they came to England, and they put these guys in Spitfires, and they said there was no one more furious and daring
against
than the Polish pilots. Like, they were just full on.
Well, if they're getting 15-year-old pilots.
Yeah, so he piloted, he learnt, and he learnt how to fly in about 3.5 months. Because
there was no internet kiddies in those days. They didn't have iPhones, but that was exciting.
And they pushed him through, and he ended up being a co-pilot on a Lancaster bomber, one of those big, massive Lancasters, and they flew into France.
He survived.
France.
He never got knocked out of the sky.
I'm here.
No, but he didn't have to power it. Nailed him.
No, they didn't. God. And they only used him when they were absolutely desperate, and the Lancasters would go into bat. So,
with their photos at home, because I know both my grandfather's brother, he went down in the HMAS Sydney, 650 off the coast of Western Australia, a German cormorant, if it was.
Yeah,
sank
it was the
that.
Cormorant.
The photo of him and the ship was in the hallway, and they were together on another.
Just off Geraldton.
And then I lost my grandfather's brother. He went down in a plane over in France as well. The photo's just in the hallway. And you just went, when you're a little kid,
I think it means more when you know someone, when it is more personal,
closer.
That you become more connected to it. So 133353, tell us what your connection to Anzac Day is.
Yeah, we want to hear your stories because it's all about that personal connection, isn't it?
You had a theory on that.
I thought it was John Howard, really, as Prime Minister, that brought back, Australia Day and Anzac Day.
Well, I went to Gallipoli.
As things of, significance.
Because they only let oldies, they only let actual people who served march. I think it was when they said, no, listen, families can be in there, or if your grandpa's died, put his medals on and get into it.
Well, when I went to Gallipoli in 1989, no one cared about it. Like, we had to pay a taxi driver to take us out there. There was no touristy stuff at all. You could kick the ground and pick up shrapnel. Like,
there were still bullets left on the beach.
Hundreds of thousands of bullets left on the
so no one cared.
No.
I don't reckon it was until this century that anyone cared about Gallipoli and went there and started going there.
Jeff of Stanthorpe, what's your connection to Anzac Day?
My grandfather served in the Second World War. He was one of the first to sign up. His number was NX115, so there weren't too many before him. He had the delight of spending 4 years bed and board, as we describe it, in Bavaria. He was captured in Crete, having won the military cross.
Oh, my God.
And he survived.
He survived. It's a beautiful spot to visit where the camp was. The local Germans have put up a memorial to the soldiers that were there, because are we allowed to pick on the Americans today?
Go for it.
Absolutely, go for it.
When they were released, the Americans are, let's face it, not the brightest of soldiers, and they'd been there a while, so they didn't have ally-issued clothes, and they sort of got released, and they all ran off, so the Americans started shooting, thinking they were Germans.
He survived that as well.
So he went over with his kit bag to England, where he was originally from, and all his mother could say was, geez, the moths were pretty bad. And
yes, they were.
Great
Thank
call,
you,
Jeff. Enjoy Anzac morning, mate.
It's interesting that Jeff makes mention of the Americans. I've heard military people refer to when Australians end up in prisoner of war camps, the English and the Americans and the Australians behave like their societies. So the English become a class society.
Yes.
The officers are still officers.
Yeah. Right.
And the enlisted men treat them as
like
officers.
In the movies.
The Americans all become individuals and look after each themselves. And the Australians look after everyone.
There
and
you go.
No one goes
good.
Hungry.
Hey, Robin Redland Bay, what's your link with Anzac Day?
I had grandparents and great uncles that served, but the story that I remember most as a kid at my high school, our deputy principal had been a prisoner of war in Japan. His wife tells a story when he first came home, he'd go out the back to exercise and he literally would walk the distance of what his cell was, even though he had a massive backyard.
Oh, wow. So just
those
conditioned.
Yeah, wow. Like muscle memory, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Robin. And Vanessa of Cedar Grove. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, are you doing anything for Anzac Morning, the march or the service?
I'm going to go and watch my daughter. She's in the RAF now. But my husband, he's away for 3 years. So, yeah.
Is he serving?
Yes, yeah, he is. So, so I wanted to give a shout out to all the wives and the kids.
Yeah.
3 years, Vanessa. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time, but I'm used to it, so.
And you're right, Vanessa. Behind every service person is a family, a husband, a wife, and their kids. And we often forget about that too. So good on you for being a loved one of serving ADF personnel.
6:21, you're on Brisbane's Triple M. Marto, Robin, and the Moon Man, the big breakfast. If you were 12, would you run away to Bali if your mother's English was this bad?
He was never flagged. They never done their job. If they'd done their job, this wouldn't have happened.
You sure would. That's exactly what's happened. You're going to get the full story very soon. I don't care. That's no excuse for Paul.
But, Brenda, I don't think they've done their job.
I don't think they've done their job too good at all. Hey, Marto Smoko shout yesterday, a very special one.
Oh, it was magnificent. Anagra Army Barracks in honour of Anzac Day, just giving everyone a big thank you out there. And what a great bunch
of
human.
Were they really cool?
Oh, my God. That's who I want in my armed forces. We've got an amazing army.
Now, what was it about these young people that really touched your heart?
How kind they were, how thoughtful they were, how respectful they got their stuff together. All right, can I say these? You know that there was a thing they brought in about 3 years ago. I reckon when Abbott was still there, they said, "Listen, we're not getting enough people into the army. We're going to offer you $40,000 and do your gap year." They call it a gap year.
Mm-hmm.
That has been such a raging success. These young girls and boys who are using that, and then after a year, you know, you used to have to lock
great
in
idea.
For 4 years. No one at 17, you can't go, "Oh yeah, I really want to be in the army for
the
4 years." They're doing 1 year, and they're so impressed because they make all these friends. They do all this training. And
they get money.
And then they go again, you can roll over and you don't have to sign a 4-year contract. You just have to, you can give them 3 months notice if you want out and you get money and they're...
Not only do they give you $45,000, I think they take a chunk off your hex debt as well.
Oy,
it's a brilliant idea.
You can do your apprenticeship, you can do nursing, plumbing, electrical,
essentially
whatever.
Essentially voluntary national service and it's a brilliant idea because anyone that's done national service or been in the army for 1 year just says the camaraderie that exists is something for life.
You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice. Can I give one other rap? All trades have been sponsoring the Smoko Shouts for months now.
Yep.
Cam Smith's dad was there again. You know how
were
I
you embarrassing?
Yes.
Did you follow him around?
Not again.
He said what you did to me on radio last time was disgraceful. You talked about my hairy arms and you threw me a little bit too much.
Do you call him Cam Smith's dad or do you
I was
use
calling
his
him Commander Smith yesterday.
Oh, good. Oh, nice. Dear.
Anyway, but hey, listen, all trades, just give all trades a rap. If you need apprentices, I never talk about what they do. They also give great mentoring to young men and women. If you're the parent of a kid going, "I don't know what they want to do," put them with all trades. They can go and do an apprenticeship if you don't know a builder or a plumber who wants full time. So it was all in all a great experience yesterday. And we were out there to do the right thing and say thank you. 500 of them came over and had Smoko with us, hung around for about an hour. I spoke to a few of the different ones. They were Private Dunnett and Gould. They were a couple of girls. They were wonderful. They were a bit shy. Private Herbert, Private Lewitt Fawcett, Private McDonald. They were all there. What a great bunch they are at Anagra. Here's a couple of them telling you, reminding you what tomorrow's all about. Anzac Day. What does it mean to you? What do you do?
You obviously want to pay your respects and play the part yourself for what we have like going in the future. It's what we're representing, what they fought for.
Anzac Day, what it means to me, it's a day of solemn reflection and celebration where I reflect and think how it would have been as a digger on the beach of Gallipoli, just the mates beside them on the day.
Well, what does Anzac Day mean for you?
For me, it's kind of a day to remember that it's not just a job, we're here. Carrying on the history and the traditions that so many people have died for. It's just a day to reflect on the great things that people have done before us. To be in their footsteps makes me feel really humble.
It's about honouring the soldiers that have served before us. It's definitely a prideful meaning for myself and everyone else that I'm serving with, especially on Anzac Day when you get to march through the Brisbane City.
Does that make you feel like they do appreciate you and they want to thank you? Is that the feel you get as you're walking?
It's definitely a supportive environment, and it's great to know that everyone has come together on Anzac Day to support and remember all the soldiers that have fought in Gallipoli and are serving in the army right now and have been deployed on many operations.
Yeah, so my pops are in the war. I'm still learning now, but yeah, I think Anzac Day is just remembering those and obviously representing what they have and continuing that on.
Okay, the word I'm going to use is humble.
Mm, they are.
Such humility. Anzac Day is also for you guys.
And it always reminds me when I hear young people like that speaking about the wasted youth on the beaches of Gallipoli, how young men died. It's such a lovely day to kind of like reflect on it and think about it.
They are making sacrifices. Some of them, well, one of them came up to me and said, "Oh, it's Lockie Marto. How are you?" And he was a mate of mine's son. I said, "I didn't know you went into the army." He has gone from this little boy to this big man. He said, "Yeah, I was in Iraq last year. It was great. Wow. You know, I was doing what I'm trained to do." Oh, yeah, think of them tomorrow. Hopefully it gives you goosies. Just, you know, these people are really giving up stuff.
We thank everyone out at Enoggera Army Barracks for your service, and a big thanks to All Trades Queensland, Zambrero and Icebreak for making yesterday happen.